This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Hit me up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average.
Everyone's redeemable. That's the mindset of Urban Meyer.
I've known Chris for close to 20 years. I vetted him thoroughly along with our general manager and owner. I feel great about the hire.
This is sort of his welcome to the NFL moment.
Chris Doyle, strength and conditioning coach hired by Urban Meyer, resigns from Jacksonville. Here's a statement from the Jaguars on Friday. Quote, Chris Doyle came to us this evening to submit his resignation and we have accepted. Chris did not want to be a distraction to what we are building in Jacksonville. We are responsible for all aspects of our program and, in retrospect, should have given greater consideration to how his appointment may have affected all involved. We wish him the best as he moves forward in his career. End quote. Anyone believe that that's how it went down? Chris Doyle came and said, hey, you know what, guys? I've been thinking about it. I don't want a job. Or do you think the team came to him and said, hey, dude, why don't we do it like this? What do you think is more likely? Let me just say something. I don't like cancel culture. I don't like it. And I not when it's permanent. You can have some cancel culture. Like it's okay to have social sanctions. Like kind of, even if you don't have the political power, people can kind of wield a soft kind of social power and say this is not acceptable in polite society, in polite company. If you behave this way, we don't want you, you know, we're going to bring pressure to bear where it's going to be hard for you to find employment so that your at least public behavior conforms to not what you think or feel or even what you want to debate. I don't think if the PC culture run amok is good in the sense that it cancels people or makes people afraid to say what's on their minds, because even if you feel like they're wrongheaded, we are all the poorer for not having some debates publicly. But I mean, in terms of behavior, for example, 50 over 50 reportedly, student athletes came out and said, hey, he treated black players differently than other players. 50 African-American black, you know, players. 50 African-American players. Over. And so that's like, it's one thing to say it's one or two people. If it's that number of people, it has some credibility to it. They're all saying the same thing, the same thing. What are they all conspiring against him? And if so, why would they? And why would they use race? No, it sounds credible to me. So I don't like the idea of PC tyranny. I think it's very good for marginalized people to have to not have to feel ashamed of themselves for no good reason, you know. In public, gay people should not have to be closeted in order to escape ridicule or keep jobs. And the same goes for various minority groups who are coming from, as time goes on, the margins into the mainstream. That's good insofar as PC culture carves out a place for everyone at the table. That's good. But insofar as it stifles public debate and makes people afraid to say things publicly that they may believe, even if they're not perfectly thought out, it's not good. And cancel culture is hand in hand with that. Hey, they once did something or said something or things that we find abhorrent, and therefore they're gone. Well, okay, fine. They can be gone from a job. Okay. If they've done something bad, if they've treated black kids differently than white kids, for example, yeah, that's bad. You should lose your job over that. But permanently disqualified from pursuing your profession, from earning, making a living, from making a contribution to the world, for providing for your family? No, I don't believe in that. However, before second chances are given, and third and fourth and fifth, because what are we just punishing for punishment's sake? We just want to be punitive because you did something bad and now you must feel pain? No, you want to rehabilitate. You want to make people more productive. You want to make the world a better place, right? Ostensibly. And so before you get that next chance, I think you have to be held accountable for the mistake you made. I think that you have to accept responsibility for it. I have not heard that from Chris Doyle. I've heard denials, but I haven't heard real accountability from Chris Doyle. I mean, this is not one or two people making that accusation. And then, in terms of Urban Meyer saying, no, we thoroughly vetted him and we feel satisfied and it was a transparent process and, you know, the players are just going to have to take our word for it. Well, that doesn't work, Urban. Coach, it don't work. It doesn't work because if the person's never taken accountability in the first place, then tell me about your vetting process. You're saying it's transparent. Great. What'd you ask him? What did he say? Like, take me through it. Who else did you interview? Why did you choose him? But that's not what Urban Meyer said. Hey, let me show you what we did. He said, no, we have our process and players just have to trust me. I know what I'm doing. I don't know, Urban Meyer, have you ever run a program where you've had an assistant show bad judgment at the very least and you kind of ignored it or swept it under the rug or there was no accountability or you made a bad decision to keep that person on the staff or hire that person in the first place? It's not like Urban Meyer has a great track record in that regard. So, and then keep in mind, and before I get to some calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-SAY-ESPN, the 729-3776. I brought this up with Mike Tannenbaum in the first segment of the show about an hour ago. There's a huge overlap between labor issues and racial issues in this country, let alone in the NFL. Let's take the NFL because that's what we're talking about here. How many black owners are there in the NFL? African-American owners? Zero. 32 teams, zero black owners. They're almost exclusively white owners. What's the percentage of African-American players? Over 70%. How many African-American head coaches are GMs? Very, very few. A handful out of 32 teams. How many white? Almost all the rest. So, I appreciate the fact that the NFL is a militant game. It's kind of a metaphor for a war. And I appreciate the fact that it has its roots somewhat in West Point, not just in the Ivy Leagues, who invented kind of football from soccer, but also at West Point has a military tradition. And I respect the fact that they respect the chain of command and the players play and the coaches coach and all that stuff. It's regimented that way. But when a head coach like Urban Meyer says the players are just going to have to trust him, don't question. Well, if that's really the job of players, not to question stuff like that, and they're over 70% African-American, and there's zero African-American owners, and those are the people who make the decision, and next to none, no GMs or coaches, then what are we saying? See the overlap of race and labor issues here? Racial and labor issues? Basically, it's white people telling black people, stay in your place, stay in your lane, and your lane is underneath ours. We give the orders, and you carry them out. And don't question it. I mean, how else do you interpret that? So it's problematic, to say the least, especially considering that Doyle, in this case, the one who supposedly resigned, not like the team said, hey, why don't we work it like this? We'll say that you resigned and we accepted your resignation. Doyle is in hot water for treating black players differently. But Urban Meyer, a white coach, who claims transparency but won't tell you what he asked and what the vetting process was, has the nerve to tell the players they're just going to have to trust him? I don't think so. That said, it's not that Doyle should never work again. He should admit what he did. He should be responsible for it. He should explain what his errors were, what he's learned from it. And at the very least, you can't tell what's actually in someone's heart. Actually, that doesn't matter so much. But you can insist on their conforming to certain basic standards of behavior in public and in the workplace. But none of those things seem to have happened. You don't cancel people forever, in my view. There are instances, but not generally. But first, accountability must be taken. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
What's going on, Mac? Yes, accountability is key, and that's what we're going to need from the Lakers bench with this situation with Anthony Davis. Look, there's going to be no three-month hiatus this year going into the playoffs, and the West, as you've alluded to, is much better. Talking about Utah, talking about teams like Phoenix that don't have 10 wins. Point of fact is, the guys that they brought in, the Kyle Kuzma's who need to step up, Schroeder, Montrez, this is their moment because the Lakers slide back. They're not going to get an easy road, and it may not be time to repeat in the City of Angels. Thanks for taking my call, Max.
As always, Andre, good call. Who else we got? You know what? I did a lot of talking there, and people still want to talk about basketball because I was talking basketball earlier. But I want you to hear a little bit of sound before we move on from Mike DeRocco, ESPN's Jaguar reporter. This is game day on ESPN Radio. Listen to him talk about the players and their questions for Urban Meyer.
When these guys get back, they're going to want to get in front of Urban Meyer, and they're going to ask him to explain himself. And they're going to ask him, why did you feel like you needed to do that? Why did you feel like that was okay? And he's going to have to sit there and face multiple guys who are angry about it, as they well should be. I think it goes back to, you know, running the program like an emperor, and that just doesn't work at this level. And he's going to find out that there's going to be a lot of guys that are going to have a lot of reservations in terms of, at least early, until they see how the program goes, until they see how everything else goes, until how they see, the strength program goes under another director of sports performance. But there's going to be some guys that are going to walk into that room and be like, hey, you need to explain yourself.
Indeed. He's going to have to explain himself. Yeah, you know, in college, he really ran the roost, right? And think about college. Also, predominantly African-American workforce. Student-athletes, stop it. It's a workforce. You know how I know? I profit off of those kids. I talk about college football. I get paid. Networks profit off of them. Coaches, Urban Meyer made millions of dollars coaching those kids. The universities profit off of them. They even fund other sports off of the kids, in like football and basketball in particular. And predominantly, again, African-American. And they are kept completely powerless. It wasn't long ago where basically kids were in trouble. Remember, they could have a bagel, but if they put cream cheese on the bagel, literally, that was a violation. Why the need to keep them so disempowered and reliant upon the university and to never compensate them? I understand part of what we're looking at is the pure joy of amateurism and everything. But once you, and people are interested in that, but once you point a camera at it and people are interested in it and you start selling commercial time, well, then there's money being made by everyone except the unpaid workforce. And people are going to draw, even if it's not exactly the same. Kids have access to education. That's the trade-off, right? People are going to draw certain historical parallels with unpaid labor in this country. It's not like, well, are they saying there's an equivalency with no, but there is. You can make an analogy. Listen to Urban Meyer from last week.
I've known Chris for close to 20 years. Our relationship goes back to when I was at Utah, and he was the number one strength coach. And really, he was doing sports performance before sports performance became a high priority in college sports. And so I've known him. I've studied him. We've had a relationship. I vetted him thoroughly along with our general manager and owner. Feel great about the hire, about his expertise at that position. So we vetted him thoroughly.
Okay, I get it. By the way, let's say Chris Doyle says, yes, I said certain things I probably shouldn't have said in retrospect. Really, the reason is I feel very familiar with the student athletes, and I'm trying to get under their skin at times, and I'm goading them, and I'm not, and I really don't see, I'm not going to ignore race, but I know what's in my own heart, so I felt at liberty to say certain things in a familiar way that I probably shouldn't have. Even if he said something like that, okay, let's start the dialogue about that. I haven't heard that from Chris Doyle. Urban Meyer just thinks, hey, I vetted him. I'm using my judgment. Okay, coach, what? What did you ask him? What did he tell you? What about X, Y, and Z? What about the students saying that? Urban Meyer has to take you through all that. He can't just say, no, it's my judgment. Everyone shut up. Brooklyn Jay in Brooklyn, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Peace, Max. Peace to you and those who are amongst you. I'm going to get right to it. I'm going to cook with gas. Urban Meyer needs to just go ahead and be a man. You said accountability. Be a man and do what you need to do as far as stepping to the side. You need a job, but not this job. And secondly, the Jacksonville Jaguars need to take the blame for all this, because they are the ones who does all these investigations, especially when you see the investigation that they do on a player, let alone a coach. And I'm sure they already knew ahead of time who Urban Meyer had in mind on hiring in this position. That's my time, Max. Thank you for all
right,
that
thanks.
You do. You be blessed on purpose.
Appreciate it, Brooklyn J. Look, let's say it went down something like this. Urban Meyer says, he talked to Chris Doyle about it. Chris Doyle's like, dude, I'm being familiar with these kids. You know me, Urban. Let's just say it was like this. I don't have any hate in my heart for anybody, you know? And Urban Meyer was like, yeah, I get it. But okay, this is the way we're going to handle it. We're just going to go straight ahead with it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to say, no, I vetted him. Everything's fine. Let's not play into this. I know you don't really feel this way. Let's say that's like a best case scenario, right? Can't do that. Can't do it. Can't stand in front of the media and say all these kids are coming out and saying that this dude treated us differently based on race, and we're just going to say, trust us. Does not work that way. And that's not PC culture run amok, and that's not the kind of specter of cancel culture changing people's behavior. That's not that. That's simple accountability for behavior that does not conform to acceptable workplace behavior. Now, if he were, let's say, on the other hand, Doyle would have come out and said these things that the kids are saying are true. And he didn't even come up with a rationalization I just said. He said, I made mistakes. I did, whatever. It's the way I was raised, or it's not the way I was raised. I have to examine my behavior. I didn't realize I was doing it. But now the kids are saying it, I think, whether or not I think I did, they think I did. That's a problem. And here's where I stand with it, and here's the steps I'm going to take. Even if he stood like that and was accountable, okay, all right. To me, it doesn't mean the dude can never work again in football. But it starts with – there are players – I don't want to say the wrong name. There's a starting quarterback, and I'm almost sure it's who it is. I'm thinking of the right person, but because it's sensitive, I wouldn't want to say it. Who, remember he posted stuff, I think, on Facebook in the high school – and it was racially ignorant, right? And it was like, uh-oh, what's going to happen? He got out in front of it. He said, yup, I was a stupid kid. This is like what I was growing up around, and I really had a lot to learn. But I learned those things, and I want to let all my teammates know that's not who I am anymore. And even like, and everything's fine, but you got to stand up and own it first. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join us on the Goodyear Hotline. By the way, Dak responded to a teammate on Instagram on Friday. Cowboys tight end Blake Jarwin posted a photo on Instagram tagging Dak. And it was captioned, @4Dak, his handle. Want to run it back in a few months? Dak responded by sharing the photo on his story, on his IG story. Quote, that's the only way I see it. It's interesting because the way I see that, what Dak said, I don't think that's the only way I see it. I think that's the only way I see it. But how do the Cowboys see it? Here's Ed Werder, ESPN NFL reporter on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the Morning right here on ESPN Radio.
The numbers I hear for Dak are he's going to want 3 years and $40 million average. So $120 million for 3 years. Remember, the breakdown ultimately was over the length of the contract. Dak wanted 4 years. The Cowboys refused to offer anything less than 5. And to me, that was the biggest mistake in the whole thing at the very end was, how do they not see 4 years of control over Dak Prescott being better than having 1 year of control over Dak Prescott? And then they pay him this enormous amount, $34 million, to play on the franchise tag, and they don't even get value out of that because he gets hurt for the first time in his career and only plays 5 games. So I think Dak has an enormous amount of leverage in this situation. Is Jerry willing to walk away from the deal? Is Jerry going to refuse to pay $40 million to a quarterback? He could. He's the owner and he's the general manager. He's spending his own money in this deal, unlike everybody else in the league.
Boy, Ed put it point blank, huh? Made a lot of sense. Why would you want only 1 year of control over Dak when you could have 4? We want so much control that we insist on a 5th year. You can't have it. In that case, we'll only have 1 year. What? I really wonder. This is just the curse of Jimmy Johnson, really. You know? Not in the Ring of Honor. Jimmy Johnson, yeah, of course, Switzer won one with Jimmy Johnson's players. But put Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Honor and the curse will be lifted, Jerry. I really think that Jerry does these things. Like, what's the end game here? Dak's going to get what he wants. Jerry does these things to keep us talking about the Cowboys. He can't keep us talking about them by winning Super Bowls. So he can keep us talking about them by stringing this kind of stuff along and keeping them in the news. What else could be the explanation here? Coming up, bad news, Lakers. Lakers fans, AD's hurt. This ain't something where he's going to be better in a day. Are the Lakers in trouble? It's the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. By the way, when it comes to hiring, there's only one solution that's been advancing its technology for years. That's ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. ZipRecruiter's technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Max. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MAX. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
How concerned should the Lakers be about Anthony Davis?
He saw how stiff that right heel area was. Didn't want to get any flexibility in it as he limped off.
He missed 2 games earlier this week with a strained Achilles, and then we just saw him limp off the court right before halftime.
Well, if he misses an extended period of time, that should be very concerned.
Grabs that right Achilles area, and that's not a good sign.
Does the NBA have a flopping problem? I mean, you know, the answer is not compared to soccer. But compared to what it should be, sure, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. I mean, is LeBron a flopper? Is that a trick question? LeBron, of course, LeBron's selling calls like most superstars. And here's the thing about LeBron. He plays both ends of the floor. So he's selling calls on both ends of the floor. But damn, you can get carried away, man. He got hit with a phantom shot, and yes, last night's game, it was like the old Adam West Batman series. Pow! Bam! You know, but the punch misses by 6 feet. Where does Damian Lillard fall in the MVP race? You can hit me up at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot of people want to, you know, talk. Stephen A. talked about Damian Lillard today on First Take and how he apologizes. He doesn't talk about him enough. And a lot of people, you know, it's to me, it's like the All-Star game. He was an all-star snub. Great. Who are you taking off the team to put him on? If Lillard's not talked about enough as an MVP, it's because he's an MVP caliber player. But who would have voted for him as the best, as the MVP last year or this year or the year before? Embiid or LeBron right now, right? And then ahead of Lillard, I'd probably put Jokic and KD. And you could argue Steph right now. Steph or Lillard's close, but you could argue Steph, even Kawhi. You might even argue Giannis. I mean, I put Lillard at this moment. Giannis and Kawhi and LeBron and Embiid all play defense. Lillard, like Steph Curry, is not a defensive force, really. So I don't know. People aren't talking about him because they're being unfair to Lillard or because he's not quite the best player in the league. Well, but people don't only talk about the best player in the league. Well, that's true. They also talk about players who make deep playoff runs, but Lillard hasn't done that either. He's not living in the conference finals. They also talk about players from major markets, but Lillard also isn't that. Now, that's not to say that Lillard's disrespected. I don't know anyone in basketball who doesn't think extremely highly of Damian Lillard on and off the court. In the booth, too. He can rhyme. You know. And by the way, last night's show against Doncic. Those are two MVP caliber players. By the way, Doncic came into the season as the MVP favorite. I think most people right now put Lillard ahead of Doncic. But Lillard hit the game winner. He's done that more than anyone in the world since he entered the NBA. Doncic had an open look and missed. It's quite a duel. Well, I know a lot of people like Portland. I'm just telling you. When the Dallas Mavericks, if and when Porzingis ever gets healthy, like I realize the problem with Porzingis is every year he gets hurt. And then he has to get back, spend half a year getting back to what he was. And then by the end of the year, oh, Porzingis is back to what he was again. So he never gets past that point. He never develops beyond what we've seen so far. But if Porzingis could stay healthy all year and get back to where he was and then some, ooh, Dallas is going to be a hell of a sleeper pick in these playoffs. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. AD got hurt versus the Nuggets, and I don't like it one bit. Aggravated tendinosis in his right Achilles. As soon as you hear Achilles, boy, I don't even want to hear about Greek mythology. Anything to do with Achilles, I don't want to hear it. Causing swelling, the tendinosis in his right Achilles, a source told ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. And AD was held out of the second half of Sunday's 122-105 loss at the Denver Nuggets. Well, take a listen. This is what happened.
Here is Anthony Davis on the right wing. Davis fouled by Jokic. Uh-oh, Michael.
Yeah, he's reaching down.
AD's holding his right Achilles.
Well, he's holding down there like he's sore down there, so maybe they should take him out after these free throws and check him out. Anytime you see a guy favoring that area of the body.
Yeah, and then that's been nuts. Sore anyway.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and if he's re-injured it, yeah, and he pulled up on it hard, I think he could be done for the night.
John Ireland and Michael Thompson on the call. You know what I would tell AD? I don't want to see you back on this court in this month. I don't want to see him back playing in the NBA in February. Stephen A. said he'd hold him out for a month. I don't know. But at least a couple weeks, man. You don't want those kind of problems. And once the playoffs start, there's no resting, really. What are you going to do? Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN's NBA insider extraordinaire on AD's injury.
They believed last night that they don't believe there's any significant damage. He had missed the previous two games with soreness in that Achilles. It's been bothering him for a couple of weeks, and I think he and the Lakers are going to continue to try to take the long view on this, and that may mean him having to sit for a period of time.
Yeah, until it feels all better. Don't mess around with AD. Traded everything you had for him to pair him with LeBron, to get LeBron some chips before LeBron is done, and then to carry the franchise into the future when you eventually have to find someone else to pair him with. You would think. Wouldn't it be funny if LeBron outlasted everybody? Meantime, speaking of LeBron, the NBA warned LeBron about flopping. Both he and Kyle Kuzma warned by the NBA for violating anti-flopping rules. Both incidents came in LA's 115-105 win over the Memphis Grizzlies on Friday. The NBA looked to clean up the game by monitoring flopping starting like 10 years ago, almost 2012-13 season. So after receiving a warning, a player can be subject to fines that grow from $5,000 to $10,000 to $15,000 to $30,000 for each subsequent violation. If a player reaches 6 flops in a season, the fine can increase even further. And the league has the right to issue a suspension. I got to tell you, I understand why the NBA is doing this. You know, I don't like rules manipulations that a player uses. They're competitive. Of course, they're going to look for those advantages. But in a way, the rule was never intended. Let me give you an example. The reason 4 balls equals a walk in baseball is not to increase the runners on base in baseball. It's to incentivize the pitcher to throw in the strike zone. Not only as a measure of their skill, but to give the hitter something to hit. That's why people show up at the ballpark. But over time, people realize the value of a walk, and so they try to work the count. Well, that's not the way the rule was intended originally. You can't control the way people, you know, not every rule or law gets used in its intended way. But I think it is fair to say yes, but when it starts to get manipulated and used in the way it's not intended, you create extra rules to try to nudge it back to where you want it. Same thing in basketball on the offensive end. James Harden. He does things to draw contact, as offensive players always have, so he can get to the free throw line. But the free throw line is there not so the offensive player can draw contact and get to the line. No one wants to watch players shoot free throws, just like no one wants to see guys walk to first base. It's there to, it's carrots and sticks. Here's a carrot. Or rather, here's a stick. I'm going to whack you with this thing. You don't want to incentivize contact. You want to incentivize clean defense. So the offensive player isn't playing football. He's playing basketball. And people like James Harden have manipulated that into drawing fouls. So you should think of ways, additional rules to get the original rule to be used in the way it was intended. Same thing with flopping. And LeBron does it on both ends. He plays defense and offense at elite levels, right? So he's flopping on both ends. People are saying, yeah, but LeBron's such this unstoppable physical force like Wilt was, like Shaq was, although a different position. He gets fouled all the time, so sometimes he's trying to, you know, sell it to the refs. Yes, but also on the other end, he flops. Dennis Rodman and Draymond Green, guys who do dirty work and work really hard there, they also flopped on the defensive end. Everyone's selling calls. Nothing wrong with it, but with the player being competitive and trying to manipulate the rule to their advantage. But it's smart for the NBA to say, yeah, but that's not why the rule is there. You know, you're trying to juice the ref for a call that he shouldn't make. So if we catch you do that blatantly, as LeBron did, I mean, it was ridiculous. It's a phantom shot that he goes down from. If that happens, you're going to be in trouble. I'm with the NBA on that one. Familiar faces heading down to spring training. Plus your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN. Last take next, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Your calls are coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
The Mets again invite Tim Tebow to camp. Tebow's been invited to the big leagues training camp, spring training by the Mets, taking one of 75 spots after Major League Baseball limited spring roster sizes as a coronavirus precaution. Still got the invite. 2007 Heisman Trophy winner, played 77 games at AAA in 2019 before the pandemic wiped out the 2020 minor league season. Been invited to Major League spring training each of the past 4 years. He hit .151 in 34 games. Boy, baseball is a hard sport, especially with time off to play. Like Michael Jordan couldn't do it. Michael Jordan couldn't get past AA because he, you know, hadn't played baseball in 15 years or whatever it was. Deion Sanders and Bo Jackson both were successful baseball players. But Bo Jackson, well, he was getting better and better when he got hurt. Was never a great player, but a very good one. And Deion Sanders, same thing. Was a very good baseball player, not great, but like eventually stopped pursuing it to focus on football. And those guys did it right. Like they pursued it consistently. There was no 10-year absence from it. Baseball is just a very mechanical sport that is almost impossible to take time off from and break in. But good for Tim Tebow for trying. You can tune in tonight for college basketball action as Florida State hosts Virginia. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Rapid fire calls. Manuel in California, you got 30 seconds. Go.
Hey, on that Dame Dollar thing, man, he's just a victim, man. Like years ago, there was a cat named Mitch Richmond, and even to a certain extent in Portland, Isaiah Ryder.
Yeah, listen, Mitch Richmond was great, no doubt, but he wasn't quite an MVP. I mean, like, Damian Lillard is an MVP caliber player in the sense that he's a five-star player, but he's not a great defender, and you wouldn't in any given season say, yes, that's the most valuable player in the league. So in the absence of that, you got to make deep playoff runs, which he also hasn't done. I think that's why he's not talked about more. Leighton in Washington, you're on the Max Kellerman Show.
Hey, how's it going, Max? I just wanted to talk about Dame again. I think it's also time to put some respect on Enes Kanter on the offensive rebounds, and I think Carmelo Anthony's playing some of his best basketball coming off the bench this season.
By the way, and Damian Lillard deserves credit, I think, for Carmelo, too, in a sense. I mean, Carmelo deserves the most credit, but I don't think it's coincidental that Carmelo, who did not work on several teams, even though he was trying his best, right, works in Portland. That Damian Lillard's leadership and the atmosphere he creates brings out the best in people. I agree with that, too. Gail in California.
Hey, I just want to say that I think Dame is going to win an MVP finalist before he won a season MVP. And it's because of these reasons. We value record over anything else. And until he's the one or number two seed, he's not going to be seen as an MVP season
I'm sorry. You're saying he's going to win MVP in the finals before the regular season? Is that what you said?
Yeah, unless he's a one or two seed, and I don't see that happening because they're always injured. But I mean, if you look at the if you look at 20 years of MVP, I think Westbrook is the only player under the one and two seed that has gotten MVP in the regular season.
That's right. And by the way, and today Stephen A. and I were arguing. He was saying, "Hey, you know, Lillard's better than Westbrook was at the, I'm not sure. Westbrook at his very best was a hell of a player, even if I might prefer Lillard because of the shooting. But Westbrook was just about as good as it got. Yeah, look, Lillard's a great player. He has not been on great teams, and that's really the problem. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, Shanae and Golic Jr. coming right up. Poof.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.